Good morning. It's the 6th of May. Our middle reading today is Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And in the New Testament, we have Acts 16 and 17. I've come across a passage which refers to both the Song of Songs and Acts 16. It's in a book that was written by our brother Jeff Hammett. The title of the book is The Book of Job and Other Studies. I read, "This book, the Song of Songs, we read through during 8 days in May each year. It has presented Bible lovers with some problems. The question is, what does it mean to us as we read it each year? Many attempts have been made to expound it, but no one can claim to have produced a definitive exposition. There have been suggestive explanations, and this is but a personal and suggestive way to understand this Song of Songs, or, as we put it, this song of all songs, the superlative, the ultimate song. For we read that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. That comes from 1 Kings chapter 4. So far as we are aware, we only know one of these, comprising this book. So of all the songs he wrote, this is the greatest, the Song of Songs, the greatest of them all. Certainly this song is unique, the only book in the Bible totally devoted to song. Many books in the Bible contain songs, from Exodus to Revelation. Some are actually sung, as in the Psalms, with music to accompany them. But this one's music is the music of love, and its poetry all about undeviating loyalty and undying love. Its language is of beauty and power, spelled out in words of tender pathos and delicately chosen imagery. The obvious meaning of other songs in the Old Testament is that they have to do with God's people, of his relationship with them, of what he was to them, a lover and a husband, and they his beloved, that when he brought them out of Egypt, it was a time of love, and God spread his skirt over them." Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. Thus, the Song of Moses in Exodus 15 celebrates victory over the enemy and triumph for God and his people. 40 years later, however, there is sadness, and Moses records another song about Israel's rebellion, past, present and future, and an indictment of them for their disloyalty. Similarly, in Isaiah 5, God was still doing for them all he could, but they lacked response. Every year, when we read the Song of Songs, we also read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Reading about their experiences, our thoughts are coloured by their love for Christ, their love and devotion and loyalty, and also by their consciousness of the presence of Christ among them. Not visible, of course, but nonetheless real. Read such passages as Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 9, and think how both Peter and Paul were visited in their subconscious state, in vision, and guided and directed. So in the song, the beloved speaks of herself as, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved." This is in chapter 5, verse 2. Then in 5 and 6, in response to his knocking in verse 4, when she opens the door, he is gone. She searches for him and suffers for it at the hands of the watchman. How like the suffering of the believers in Acts. But no suffering deters them, and they continue to proclaim him in glowing terms. Tribulation was endured gladly, because of the altogether lovely, the standard-bearer among 10,000. So the Book of Songs exhorts us to faithfulness, loyalty and dedication to him who is our beloved. It urges us to awake our song, the song with a chorus of praise, the song of eternal love. Thank you for listening.